I've been to a few protests. I haven't been to any of the XR ones, but that's not through any kind of stance on it. I was thinking about that because it kind of comes up quite often. You see the Richard Madeley being a complete spoon on Good Morning Britain talking to XR protesters. I can't really think of a time in the last 100 years, 200 years, that real change wasn't brought about by some kind of protest. If you think about the suffragettes, the kind of segregational movement in America, women's rights, like it's all been brought about by a form of protest. And I get that it's annoying, but you know what's more annoying is not being able to feed yourself in like 10, 15 years. And I think the people who take that step to disrupt society aren't taking that lightly. They've read the science and it's scary, you know? Like when I first, I've told you now, I'm not a climate scientist, but when I started working more on climate change and developing climate change policy, did a bit of a deep dive into the research, and it's incredibly scary. And I think most of us go on about our daily lives and it's very easy to ignore it because we live in the West and we're afforded those luxuries. Those protesters that are aware of what might happen. I mean, I probably went through about 6 months of I'd say what was like a state of mourning, of not knowing what to do after what I read. I didn't know what to do, knew that people weren't taking anything seriously, but it was really scary. And I think kudos to them if they want to go and try and move the dial a little bit more, because I think that's the only thing in the last 100 years that has really brought about real change on a political and cultural level. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
You mentioned their group XR. Who are they? What do they do?
So XR is Extinction Rebellion, and they basically take direct non-violent action to disrupt society enough to try and bring political and cultural attention to the climate and biodiversity crisis. I think the interesting thing about XR, and probably something that not everybody knows, is that it's not a centralized organization. They have values and they have aims and they have goals, but anybody who joins XR can do something to try and make a difference. There's not a leader that is telling you need to do that, you need to do that. They organize themselves in different ways. So there have been instances where they've held their hands up and said, look, this group did something that we wouldn't necessarily advocate, you know, stopping people getting to work on tubes in the morning rush hour. In hindsight, probably wasn't the best way of spreading their message. But these people are trying to change the course of history and not to put it lightly, save humanity. You know, they're gonna make mistakes. And I think we hold environmental protesters, scientists, people who are passionate to the very high stringent regard, and it feels like everything they have to do has to be perfect or we won't listen to them. And it feels like that's just a good excuse not to listen, because everybody else is allowed to make mistakes and be human, and you know what I mean, it just feels like, well, that's actually, they've done this one thing that I don't agree with, so therefore I'm not listening to anything they say. And it's like, well, are you sure it's not just convenient that you just don't really want to listen to what they want to say, because it's quite a hard message to listen to?
Take you see a big butting heads, that's the right word, between that economic, social, and science, that trying to get that balance, it must be a challenge.
I actually think, I don't think it's that challenging. I think it's challenging in the current system that we have, but I think that when you balance, I mean, I think when you prioritize, it just seems that at the moment the environment is always probably one of the first things to be taken off the list. We're like, oh, well, we'll sacrifice the environment and we can make some money. But actually, you can still make money. You can make really good profits. And there's businesses that have been doing it for years. Their whole models are about looking after the environment and looking after people. And I think we're seeing that more and more, that actually the future is going to be you make economic gain by doing environmental good. At the moment, we still, there's more money gained from cutting down a tree and cutting down and using the wood and making products than there is for protecting a tree. But that's changing now. You know, we're seeing things like carbon credits and protecting areas and businesses doing things for ESG reasons that actually mean that we're actually going to start valuing those trees and habitats that are there doing their own thing. It's called ecosystem services, but I think ecosystem functions is a better term. You know, realizing that having clean air means that we can breathe, having clean water means that we can drink. You know, trees perform a function and therefore have a value. Because, you know, if we cut down everything, polluted everything, we wouldn't be able to survive. So it's like the understanding that we need thriving, healthy, natural ecosystems in order to thrive economically as well.